of trouble. Mm. But,
in the context of that, with the civil rights sort of situation hotting up in the north, how would that have related to that? Would they have, you say they fancied themselves left wing and rebellious, but would they have really extended that to any sort of engagement with what was going on there, like protests about the vote and
Well, yeah, that came into it, and one or two of the more radical ones would have gone down to after school to join in with the People's Democracy protests at Queen's University. And in our debating society and other groups, I remember vividly, we invited Austin Curry, who was a Stormont MP at the time, to come and speak to us. And that was rather a shameful meeting because there was also a very vociferous Paisleyite element. Probably most of the students were apolitical or were devoted unionists, or their parents certainly were devoted unionists, but there was a small left-wing element, and there was also a small, maybe a slightly larger Paisleyite element. And when Austin Curry came, some of the Paisleyite students were, our pupils, were rather bad-mannered and displayed a Union Jack and asked rather aggressive questions. And he coped with it well enough, but I mean the teachers afterwards gave us to understand that this had not been one of the more glorious days of the school's liberal reputation, and I think they were right.
Was he already in the Social Democratic and Labour Party then, or was it?
He was a nationalist MP. I think the SDLP hadn't quite been formed, but he was known for his involvement in civil rights. I think that's my one main memory of the rioting with 68, 69. But I mean, this is a selfish thing to say, I'm thankful that by the time I left school the real bad violence hadn't started in Belfast. I mean, it did affect the next generation of students. Bomb scares, sort of tape on the window panes.
Would you have been
threatening, it was the next generation of students found it difficult wearing the school uniform, going, if they went home certain ways, they were a target.
Yeah.
That would have been quite painful to live through.
Would you have been a bit insulated from it in your area, say more so than some working class areas?
To some degree, yes. But, I mean, Belfast is still quite a small place, so even though my area of movement was unrestricted, I mean, once the bombs started, I'm talking about them a little bit later, that became something that involved everybody, and you couldn't escape it. But, well, thankfully, I did escape it, but you knew it was going on. I mean, Belfast through the Troubles, it's funny because people from my background, middle class Protestants, would often say, "Oh, you could live in Belfast and not know there was trouble going on." And I know what they mean, but certainly in the 70s, when the bombing campaign was on, you certainly knew that there was trouble, terrorism, whatever you want to call it. And one could hear gunfire. I remember hearing that one night in 1970. You couldn't live in Belfast in the 70s and not know that the blood was being shed and lives were being destroyed.
Was there a certain air of unreality to all that? To be living in, essentially sharing the same civilization that we have in Dublin or Paris or something, and yet have all this craziness going on.
Well,
being able to stop it.
Yeah, you adapted to it. People do. I remember coming back as a student from England. I'd see the difference. The soldiers on the streets with loaded weapons, and one presumed they were loaded, I'm sure they were, and being searched, going into shops, and all of this, minor inconvenience. You go back over the water to England, and a society that knew nothing about this at that time, that made me, as a young man, quite angry or upset, but,
yeah.